This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 in the morning. You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Philip and Xiaoning. In half an hour, we have The Breakfast Grill. Who do we have on the hot seat this morning, Phil?
We have Gareth Tan. He's the managing director of Fend B. And that's who Keith Kam will be grilling today, because for those of us growing up in KL in the 70s, like yourself, Xiaoning, Lee's frozen food might be a familiar name when it's time to do grocery shopping.
Yes, indeed it is. It is and it was. I mean, I remember the shop in Kampung Atap. I used to go with my mother. They were, like, in those days, one of the leading, the only place you could buy actually a lot of imported frozen food.
Exactly. So Managing Director Gareth Tan takes the hot seat to talk about how he plans to expand and modernize his family's business, as well as the challenges that the pandemic and rising cost of goods
pose. Because this little family business has really grown to have ventures in ASEAN. So no longer just a single shop in Kampung Atap.
Exactly.
All right. Stay tuned for that conversation after the 8 a.m. news. But we are turning our attention now to what's happening over in China. The dust is far from settled in China's property sector after the collapse of property giant Evergrande last year. Recall that Evergrande defaulted on debts totaling over $300 billion and sparked a real estate crisis which ended decades of property development boom.
In the latest turn of events, large number of home buyers in China are withholding mortgage payments for homes that property developers have yet to complete. It started as an act of protest by one group of buyers in one city, but has expanded to over 300 projects across the country.
So Deutsche Bank analysts have put the size of mortgages affected so far at 2 trillion yuan, which is around $300 billion. Now, with China's economy seeing a marked slowdown stemming from Beijing's zero COVID policy amid an ongoing outbreak of cases, what are the implications of a property sector meltdown, which currently makes up 25% of China's GDP.
So for analysis on how property sector developments affect the broader China economy, we speak to Gary Ng, APEC economist with Natixis. Gary, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. Now, the scale of revolt among Chinese homebuyers is pretty unprecedented. How widespread is the mortgage boycott, and what would you say is driving it?
Yes, indeed, it is really quite a rare phenomenon that we see in China, because usually home buyers regard a home as a very important asset, and then basically it's one of the safest assets that banks would have as well. So basically we are seeing that the number of projects that are included in the mortgage boycott actually increased from 150 2 weeks ago to now more than 300. So indeed, it is quite a worrisome trend. So the underlying problem is really about the cash flow of developers, because they have quite a high reliance on pre-sales home, and we have all this problem in terms of zero COVID and then high cost in construction material. So property sales actually fell more than 30% in the first 6 months of 2022. So this basically explains why a lot of developers find it hard to actually carry on their projects.
So how systemic is this issue? Is this isolated to specific developers like perhaps Evergrande, or is it just broad-based across all developers?
If we look at the breakdown of the 300 projects that we managed to collect, indeed a large part of it are from Evergrande, and then we also see a few other names that they already failed to repay their bond. So definitely, on the one hand, it is kind of quite concentrated into some of the developers that are already in trouble. But on the other hand, there are also a bit more contagion effect into more other developers, even though they are not regarded as basically bond defaulted. So indeed, I think home buyers and investors are a bit more worried about whether about the ability for a lot of this construction or developers to actually fulfill the obligation. So I think at the moment it seems a bit concentrated, but we need to continue to observe on whether there will be more projects included, and home buyers may indeed extend to extend a boycott to some of the other developers, of which they may not be basically viewed as quite a negative player before.
Gary, what is the Chinese government doing to defuse the situation at the moment? Because, you know, this property sector is very sensitive to a lot of people. It is their store of value.
Indeed, if we look at the past 6 months, we do see a bit of marginal relaxation of the regulation on allowing developers to raise funds a bit easier. The PBOC also cut the five-year loan prime rate in May by 15 basis points, which hopefully can stimulate the home demand a bit. So we did see a bit of improvement in June, but things has kind of reverted quite aggressively in July as well. So basically, for the full year, forecast seems to be still quite negative. So what we are seeing right now is that the government is trying to involve more state-owned capital, trying to ensure that the projects will go on, that home buyers will receive their completed apartment probably by like the promised date, or if not the promised date, at least they will regain the confidence in that. And on the other hand, we also see a bit more bond raise financing activities in the market to actually like basically see the property developers trying to get more cash from the market. So I think ultimately, right now, the measures may not be fully adequate. We do need to see quite a U-turn in terms of this regulatory relaxation to actually allow home buyers, allow the developers to actually regain the confidence in home buying and also investment.
Gary, what are the implications of the current situation in the property sector on China's overall economy? Are there sectors that are at risk of seeing contagion effects, do you think?
Indeed, because of this interlaced relationship between real estate and many other sectors, it is indeed quite worrisome. So, of course, the most direct affected one is the supply chain related to real estate. And we already saw last week that some suppliers of Evergrande decided that they don't want to pay banks because they cannot receive money from Evergrande, and probably they do not have cash to actually fulfill that obligation. So we are thinking of basically the a wider industry effect, not only from materials, from metals, but also for some of the downstream sectors in terms of some of the home appliances. So this is indeed quite a widespread effect, but not only about the non-financial sector. If we think about the banking sector, they also carry the risk of whether there will be a rising non-performing loan, not only from property developers, but also from home buyers. So we are now seeing a twofold contagion effect, not from both the non-financial sector and channeling into the banking sector.
So, you know, we talk about this contagion effect then. How does this affect China's overall GDP target of 5.5%, right? How realistic is that target now?
I think the 5.5% number indeed become increasingly challenging because first we already is half of 2022, and basically it means that in the second half of the year you need to achieve more than 8% growth to actually get a 5.5% growth full year. So for me, it seems to be quite difficult, and especially we haven't really seen a very strong gesture from the government in terms of injecting massive fiscal or monetary stimulus. So far, everything has been quite cautious. Of course, the deleveraging is not the main target now, but we also haven't seen a trend of the leveraging among corporate and also government. So I would say that they may need to adjust downward the 5.5% target given the current situation.
Gary, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Gary Ng, APAC economist with Natixis, giving us the lowdown on what's happening in China's property sector and how that could impact the broader economy, really casting doubt on that 5.5% target GDP growth that the Chinese government has put in place. I think everyone's watching that to see whether it can be achieved.
Second quarter already was 1.2%, right? And I think first quarter was 0 point something, so it's very unlikely they're going to get to 5.5% for the year. But what's more worrying is the contagion effect, whether if this spreads right to more cities, because it's 90 cities at the moment. Now, bear in mind, you don't usually buy a house with cash. You yes. buy a house with a loan, right? And if housing prices have already been on a decline for the last 10 months, are we going to see an uptick in non-performing loans? And then that will have an effect on the banking sector, which is even larger than the property sector.
Well, in this case, yeah, I think many buyers have already exercised or enforced their own non-performing loan situation, isn't it? By refusing to pay those mortgage payments. I wonder what happens when you decide not to pay. What is the
The banks come after you.
The banks after come back. You declare bankruptcy, right? But what happens with that situation? Because many have voluntarily done so.
And I think that's the dilemma for the Chinese authorities at the moment, right? Because they want to alleviate the situation, but they don't want to create like a self-fulfilling prophecy where they give these leeways, but then that also encourages more people to not pay their loans. So it's a tricky situation and one that has a lot of implications for the rest of the economy. All right, 7:46 in the morning. We are heading into some messages. When we come back, we'll have more news for you. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.